It's not that we're playing who had it harder during the pandemic, but it was a unique grand slam of pressures. And parents have been succeeding and working and incredibly resilient under them, but that it's been a long, hard road.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof.
The past year has been an interesting one for just about anyone, but especially for working parents, who in many cases had to reconfigure how to support their employers and care for their children on the fly. What does the future look like for working parents? To answer that question, I wanted to turn to Daisy Dowling. She's the founder and CEO of WorkParent, an executive coaching and training firm dedicated to helping working parents lead more successful and satisfying lives. She also writes about working parent issues for Harvard Business Review and is the series editor for the HBR Working Parent series of books. She's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Financial Times, Washington Post. And finally, she's the author of Work Parent, the complete guide to succeeding on the job, staying true to yourself, and raising happy kids, out as of May 25th from Harvard Business Review Press. But Daisy, welcome to Future Proof.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did I miss anything? Who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis? If there's anything key, besides obviously being a parent, which I think is, you know, obviously important.
Yes, I've got two kids and I'm broadcasting live from my daughter's bedroom. So that's part of my day-to-day. But as the founder and leader of WorkParent, basically I spend my days on the other end of a phone line or a Zoom screen with individual working parents, coaching and advising them on how to bring together the personal and professional spheres of their life and how to do that in a sustainable way. I also teach a lot of workshops for groups of parents within organizations or civic groups who want to come together and connect with each other and also learn some of the tricks and techniques for making this work through the pandemic and then out on the other side. And then I spend a fair amount of my time researching, so interviewing working parents of all different backgrounds, fields, family structures, phases of parenting, just about how they make it work. And I use those techniques and tips in my coaching, in my workshops, and then in my writing also. So I spend a lot of time talking to people.
I think we have a lot in common in that regard. I wanted to ask you, In 2021, can working parents, quote unquote, you can't see my hands right now, but can they have it all? And if not, why? And if so, then how do you define it all?
Yeah, so I would say that I would tweak the wording of the question just slightly and say that we are doing it all. So when people think of having it all as like a big aspirational thing, your life is on some perfect keel, trajectory of great success, right now we're doing it all, meaning we're taking care of our kids full time for most of us. We're working full time. We're also doing other things like being our kids' teachers, and we're taking care of colleagues. We're pivoting our businesses. We're being pushed and stretched in so many different ways above and beyond the tall order that working parenthood already was. So I think the question now is, how can we continue to, just beyond sort of our own personal resilience, what are some of the ways that we can make working parenthood easier and better, rise to the challenge, and make the institution of working parenthood something that can be different and a little bit of a smoother path in the future?
What's interesting to me about that is that you have these working parents, myself included, who have always tried to balance their different roles and different identities. But for a lot of them over the last year, you've been balancing those from, you know, the same place, or you've had a kid running around in the background while you're trying to do an important presentation. How are working parents trying to balance their different roles and different identities right now?
I think we're all trying really hard, and I think it is a hard thing to do. For years, many of us have been encouraged to think of work-life integration, the ultimate goal, like we can be one person and to do two different things, two different spheres of our life. But now we've gotten so integrated that there is no boundary, that there is no definition, and we're struggling under that. Am I a parent? Am I a professional? I'm not good at either. I hear that from working parents all the time, that they just feel like they're falling down. I hear a lot of really strong language around, I'm failing, I'm not doing well, I'm doing, et cetera. So in the workshops that I run, and certainly in my one-to-one coaching, we spend a lot of time on three things. First is creating boundaries, figuring out how, even in a really artificial or small way, you can separate your parenting time and mind space from your professional. So that can be as simple as closing your home office door and saying, I'm just really going to focus on work right now. I'm not going to give the kids more thought. It can be coming up with smaller or even psychological techniques. I have one client who keeps a family photo on her desk, and every time she switches back and forth between mom self and professional self, she touches the photo like she's touching a light switch. These things are small, but they're delineations, they're demarcations, so that as you think about your two roles, you can actually show up in, be most focused in, and feel most competent and capable and powerful in each of those sequentially, even if you have to toggle back and forth between the two really frequently. The next thing we talk about a lot is identity. So if you set up those boundaries, all right, but then who are you in each of those spheres? And an exercise or a technique that I give to a lot of parents is to sit down with a piece of paper whenever you get 20 minutes free, to sit down with a piece of paper and jot out, both for your professional self and your parenting self, 5 to 7 adjectives that you want to be, that really capture the essence of who you want to be in each of those roles. So let's say as a dad, you want to be nurturing, patient, funny, attentive. You fill in the blanks. And then as a professional, you want to be thoughtful, have great foresight, be judicious. Each of us have different ways that we would like to see ourselves described. But when we can actually put that down on a piece of paper, when we've crisped up what we want those identities to be, it allows us, when we do move across those boundaries, to really fully show up as that person, to step into character, to be in role, and to be comfortable with who we are in each of those two spheres. And then the last thing that I spend a lot of time working with people on is generating a sense of momentum and accomplishment. So we've all, over the past 13 plus months, felt like we've been on a treadmill where there's no red stop button and we can't slow down the speed. That's a really difficult place to be. It's exhausting. It's a little demotivating. So to root yourself back in a sense of momentum and accomplishment, start keeping a done list, not a to-do list with all the gazillion things you have yet to do, but a list of all the things you've accomplished and checked off that list, whether that's big or small. Like you've had a great meeting at work with a difficult customer. You accomplished a project on time and under budget. You put in a load of laundry. You helped your son with his math homework, whatever it is. And at the end of the week, take that list out and look at it and remind yourself of how much in each role you are accomplishing, and the incredible totality of your commitment. And it'll make you feel like you're more on your front foot again.
I think that's a great advice. And I think, candidly, I'm going to try to take some of that to heart. Obviously, since we're couching this in what has occurred over the last year or so, I'm wondering how the pandemic fits into all of this, like how we're working parents on the whole, the ones that you've studied, how are they impacted compared to their, you know, generic working counterparts?
Yeah. So this pandemic has been terrible on everyone, and I don't mean to diminish it, but I think working parents have had a particular crunch and it's been extraordinarily hard. And I had a client, one of my clients is a law firm, and one of the senior partners at this law firm who has children, but who are grown and gone, was pushing back on me in a meeting and said, everybody's got a really difficult hand right now. Why is this so hard on working parents? And so I said, all right, let's think about your day today. You've got a really sensitive client meeting, then you've got to take a deposition, and you have to work 12 hours because that's what the firm expects of you. You have to bill a certain amount per year. Now, I want you to do all of that. And now I want you to think about doing all of that with a low blood sugar 2.5-year-old sitting next to you throughout the entire day. And you can't turn your gaze away because you're worried about your child's safety. And you have to make sure that all meals are provided to this child. And you also have to make sure that your first grader who's in his room distance learning is logged into his classes. And so for, and so I just set up the reality, and there was a silence on the phone. And he said, oh, okay, I got it. I think it's just important for non-working parents, not that we're playing who had it harder during the pandemic, but to realize it was a unique grand slam of pressures, and that parents have been succeeding and working and incredibly resilient under them, but that it's been a long, hard road.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people working from home during the pandemic, I'm wondering if it was helpful at all to see those professionals at home, often with a kid running around in the background, and if that changed at all the way we see coworkers. The reason why I ask this is because, listen, this is just me as a parent, but that maybe it's been a little bit less in vogue to be a parent in general. And because often corporations are expecting people to be 100% devoted to work, and maybe it was beneficial to have your coworkers who didn't have kids, or if they were out of the house, to see those unique struggles that working parents were dealing with.
Yes. The pandemic, as difficult as it's been, has let the genie out of the bottle in terms of working parenthood. There's no more ignoring this. There's 52 million American working parents. And maybe pre-pandemic, we could hide or not talk about what we had to do parenting-wise when we were in the professional sphere where it wasn't discussed as much or brought forth. And we haven't been able to ignore that now because you've got kids interrupting the Zoom call. You have people who are having to restructure their schedules to deal with childcare issues. And it's all more out on the table. And that's good. Where I think we need to push that, though, that's one step. Where we need to take the next is learning how to bring more of that openness into other parts of our professional life. So it's all great if, you know, my daughter bursts in right now and interrupts us. I'm sure people would be very gracious and say, oh, it's a child interruption. We get that. But what about the next time you're on a job interview and you're hesitating and thinking, can I ask what it's like to be a working parent in this organization? Or you're having a conversation with your manager about the flexibility that you want when everybody does go back to the office after the pandemic. How are you going to handle those interactions? And that's the set of new skills that we're going to have to develop to create working parenthood version 2.0.
Yeah, that it's going to be interesting, definitely, to see how that pans out. I was kind of curious, does the data suggest that working parents lead more satisfying lives than others, or is the opposite true, or is it just one of those it depends kind of questions?
So the research that I do is ethnographic, which is just the fancy schmancy way of saying that I talk to people about their personal stories and experiences non-judgmentally and in the context of their full lives. So I'm not thinking about statistically are people satisfied more or less, but what I will tell you is having spoken with and interacted with thousands of working parents, I hear routinely people tell me, and they're not saying working parenthood isn't difficult, but routinely telling me how they think being a parent makes them a more powerful, capable professional and vice versa. I hear a lot of people talk about the gratitude they feel for leading such complicated, full, busy lives. And I hear a lot of people talking about working parenthood, having those two spheres as being like a really effective antidote one to the next. So one of my interviewees who's had a big career and four kids said, I just was never all that stressed out in a way because I always saw the other sphere as like a vacation or a break from what I was doing. I would be really busy with my kids all weekend. And then Monday morning, I would get to go back to the office and nobody would really bother me. And I could deal with adults and focus on the details of the budget. And then when I was done working on the budget, I would go home and dance the hokey pokey with my toddler. And I had this perfect back and forth, a yin and a yang. And I think that's characteristic of working parenthood and a really good place for people to be.
You're speaking my language. I could definitely tell you that I look forward after a while, just shifting gears, constantly being busy, but being able to move to that other challenge. And this is, again, a little bit further afield from the type of in and out of the interviews that you're doing with working parents. But I'm wondering what you think that the future of working parenthood looks like, given the fact that there are all of these changes in society. There's probably going to be more work from home in the future. There's also different changes about societal pressure on having kids in the first place, right? There's all these different trends. And if you could roll them up into one and imagine what the future of working parenthood looks like, what would it be?
Yeah, I think the four things that are going to be differentiated versus where we are today or where we've been, the first is that I think there's going to be a lot more openness. So you talked about people being more candid and frank. It's their kids are in the Zoom and so forth. I think that openness is going to actually continue and accelerate. And people are going to start talking about working parenthood in the broader context of their careers when they switch jobs, for example. So I think that's important. Second, I think there's going to be more connection. So right now, if you talk to most working parents, you hear the word lonely a lot. And it's not just because of the pandemic and we're all isolated and locked down and all that. People feel like, I haven't been able to talk to other people with candor. I don't necessarily have a lot of working parent mentors or friends or allies, supporters. And the thing I'm so excited about is this huge surge of working parent networks within organizations, really diverse groups of working parents banding together and talking about working parenthood, sharing tips, sharing advice, connecting. So I think there's just going to be a lot more sort of network stuff happening. The third thing is that working parenthood is going to be recast as something more inclusive. I mentioned there are 52 million American working parents. We come in all packages. Right now, if you Google working parent and you click on images, the photos that come up are all of a woman, usually in a pantsuit, holding a baby and looking into a laptop screen. That's a very specific image. It doesn't include men or people with older kids or people who don't use laptops as like the main function of their job. And so as we think about working parenthood 2.0, I think there's going to be a lot more realization that we're all in this together. And again, connection across those lines. And then the fourth thing I think is just going to be a focus on brass tacks, solutions, and action. So if historically working parenthood was about having a really strong spine and just being able to keep on keeping on and being resilient and so forth, I think now people are going to start and have already started talking about, what does my work arrangement or work from home arrangement look like? What's going to work for me? How do I think about my commute and my time management? And what techniques are actually going to help me in my day to day? And I think that getting tactical point, instead of just talking about these big amorphous topics, work-life balance and integration, I think getting super duper tactical is going to be a huge step forward as well. So I think those four things form the wrapper of the new working parenthood.
And then, since I try to ask about one provocative, semi-not PC question per interview, I got to ask this. And this actually came from somebody else. I said I was talking to an expert on working parenthood, because that's like your forte. When people think of that, they think of you. There's been so much talk lately about what workplaces can do for marginalized groups. Have parents got lost in the shuffle? I don't think it's necessarily a zero-sum game where just because you're trying to have a more inclusive workplace for minorities, particular ethnic groups, people who deal with particular disabilities, has that taken up all the oxygen in the room so that there isn't enough space to talk about what we can do to be more inclusive towards parents? And it is the simple fact that there are just so many parents, they're not looked at as a unique constituency anymore.
It's a great question. I'm actually of the other view. So I, with a lot of the organizations I work with, I speak to a lot of HR practitioners, DEI practitioners, and I have yet to come across one in the past year who does not have the working parent thing as like a big flashing sign on their to-do list. It's top of mind for everyone. There is so much that is going on right now that's positive and important in terms of paying attention to, recognizing, recasting just how companies and organizations and society have treated either underrepresented groups or undervocalized, underattended groups in all different ways. And it's such an important step forward. And I actually think a lot of attention in that is being paid to working parents, and that it's also not a zero-sum game. It's not, oh, working parents aren't getting the time and attention because somebody else is. This is a rising tide, all boats environment in which people are realizing, how can we treat employees? So leaders of organizations are thinking, how can we treat employees in a way that's going to make them want to stay at this organization and be productive and be engaged? And to do that, they have to speak to a lot of different aspects of life and reality and identity. So I actually think this is an exciting and positive time.
I mean, for sure. I would hope that the average parent has the ability to bring their whole self to work in a bigger way. And yet, and maybe this is just an outdated view, I think that there are some people who still naturally have that concern that if I bring my whole self and I talk about my kids, then people are going to think that I care more about my kids than the work, which, shocker, you probably should arguably care more about your kids than the work. But there are people who are concerned about being that open and that present in that regard.
How much do you want to communicate about being a parent in the professional sphere? I encourage people to look at it as a spectrum. If 1 to 10, and 1 is never talk about parenting stuff, pretend it doesn't exist, soldier on and just ignore it or deny it. And 10 is talk incessantly about what you have going on as a parent and kind of go crazy with it. But you're probably not going to want to be on either end of that spectrum. But think where you want to be in the middle. Where is organizationally appropriate? What feels personally appropriate? How much you need to communicate to get what you really need from colleagues or an institution or an organization? But as you do that, realize that the right level, maybe you're a 4 out of 10, maybe you're a 7 out of 10. I don't know. It's going to be different for each of us. But realize as you do that, that the right place is probably going to be a place where you feel a little bit awkward, a little bit uncomfortable. Because if you're not saying, hey, I'm thinking about my kids, here's the new work from home arrangement I want, or if you're not telling people ahead of time that, hey, my 3-year-old may wander, you know, into the Zoom before it happens, if you're not being a little bit further out there than you might have historically, you're probably not seizing the moment that we now have, or doing yourself justice, like not planting your flag quite strongly enough. So think what's realistic, but also nudge yourself just a tiny bit.
That's a really good point. I wanted to ask you, I guess, one last thing, which is that more and more jobs, I've heard a lot about this lately, are, and we've actually covered it on the show, more and more jobs are becoming automated. Is there anything to suggest that people will find more meaning in their lives outside of work? Because, and again, there's a lot of data on this that suggests that for better or for worse, particularly Americans, have had a lot of their identity wrapped up in work and maybe a little bit less so in their parenting. So is there any data to suggest that parenting and everything that we do outside of work is going to start to carry more meaning and make up a greater percentage of our overall happiness or overall identity going forward?
As an optimist, I think ultimately it will. What I see right now is a lot of working parents for whom, and for us as a group, where our personal habits and human behaviors and practices haven't exactly caught up with the technology. I use the example of the smartphone. It's simple. We basically all have one now. They're a blessing. I love my iPhone. It gives me so much freedom in different ways. But 24/7, everywhere I go in the world, I now feel that I need to be accessible, right? And on and responsive. And neither I nor most of the working parents that I coach and counsel have developed the compensatory mechanisms to be able to say, you know what, I'm off now, or I'm on vacation now, or I'm away, or here are the boundaries I'm going to set. We feel like we need to be aligned to the technology instead of aligned to the practices that will set us up for success and balance as we go in the future. So as we think about workplace automation, I think we also need to think about where we want to draw our own lines. Something that's automated can run 24/7. We're human beings. We don't want to do that. So again, back to this boundaries issue, I think it may take years, it may take some time, but I think over time, and certainly post-pandemic, this will be an accelerant. People will begin to recast their relationship between work, home time, and what they want to devote to each.
Yeah, I think that actually, you know what, I've got a follow-up question a little bit, because I know you mentioned you being an optimist, and yet, obviously, given the name of the show, we're always trying to figure out where things are going to be leading. But ultimately, do you think that things are going to be getting a little bit easier to be a working parent in the future, or is it only going to get harder? But it's still going to be fulfilling. Like, how do you see? Yeah, in some ways we're going full circle here, but you know, curious what you think there.
Yeah. So in my future predictive mode, I think what's going to happen is, and a lot of statistics and data bear this out now, as well as my own experience talking to a lot of working parents. I think on the back end of this pandemic, there's going to be a lot of job changes. I think people who went through this experience and who didn't feel supported by a boss, a manager, an organization, who were somehow unhappy with the work and family arrangement and setup that they had or were able to broker, they're going to want to pull up stakes and go someplace else, start working for themselves, go to a new organization, whatever it is. If we're not doing that already, I think the sort of big game of professional musical chairs that's about to happen in 2021, in 2022, is going to force a lot of institutions to say, whoa. If they haven't said that already, they say, whoa, we got to get real here. If we want to have great talent, if we want to keep good people, if we want to attract people, grow, you name it, we're going to have to think about ways to help people create those boundaries or figure out how people can have a relationship, human relationship to automated processes, but that still allows them to take care of business at home. And so I think that's it sounds like a dire thing. It's ultimately, I think, going to be a really positive thing. It's a dislocation that's going to lead to a reckoning and then a step forward.
Well said. I know I have to let you go, but this is a fantastic conversation. I wish you best of luck with the book. I feel like you don't need it because a lot of people really need this type of guidance right now. Thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Daisy for making the time. You could tell that a lot of this was really applicable to my own life, so I'm definitely going to be reading this front to back and encourage all of you to pick up the book as well. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and B. Quartuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.